Yes, everybody, Stephen Alson, joined by Joel McGrath for a review of an absolute shower of shit, shall we say?
Yeah, it's not the best Easter Sunday I've ever had.
Oh my God.
It's absolutely awful. I just couldn't
believe it. I reckon Jesus had a better Easter Sunday.
Yeah, he did. If anything, he did. No matter how much chocolate I eat after this review, it's not going to make me happier. United was poor. First half was bad, and I thought we can't get any worse than this. And the second half came about, and it all just seemed to crumble around us. As well as you said before, Alston, Everton did play well, but United.
Everton did. The thing is, at home, Everton are actually a bit of a force, and they're a very good team. Drew 0-0 with Liverpool, beat Chelsea, battered Arsenal. Mm-hmm. It was a great performance against Arsenal. So when I was coming into this, I was concerned. I was like, there's a team at home that's in form. It's going to be a real tricky fixture for us, but I still thought we could do it. I expected and demanded a retaliation from, yeah, or you go to Barcelona, you get smacked about. Well, actually, Everton smacked us about worse than Barcelona did.
Yeah, they did. Everton had more possession. They had more fun with the ball. They looked like the players were just having a laugh when it came to looking at United back four, who were just sort of broke down bit by bit throughout the whole 90 minutes. And Everton's attacking lineup just looked like they're having an absolute worldie. They just loved every minute of it, and that's not what it should be about. United should be there to say, this is our game, we're going to take it to you.
That quote there from Ollie, from the first whistle everything went wrong. I want to apologise to the fans. They're the only people wearing a badge today that can have it. I think he says any pride, I think is what it ends up saying. Fair play. Oh, they can hold their head high because we can't.
He knows to say the right things after a game. But
I do.
Yeah,
it's not a qualification.
There's certain things he did today which were a bit, you wonder, could he have done something wrong? Obviously the back four is not full of confidence at the minute, so we talked a lot on the midweek, on the midweek review, about, do you bring any youngsters in to sort of give them their sort of run out towards the back end of the Premier League?
Brandon Williams, I didn't think would play again the rest of this season because he broke his arm. He played yesterday against Derby for the 18s, captain the 18s to win against Derby. Mason Greenwood pulled out two unbelievable goals.
Mm-hmm,
one from the corner of the box, load of step overs, ping it in the opposite corner. Mm-hmm. Ability all day long. And then the other one, rising up and scoring a header. Variety. He's now scored 44 goals in 44 games, and a vast majority of those have been coming from a winger. He's also got 18 assists, which is frankly ridiculous. How this kid doesn't get an opportunity, I don't know. Why he wasn't on the bench today, even if he played 90 minutes yesterday, you're telling me that he's at 17?
He can't go on and
come on,
play.
Man, he could play 10 minutes today. We had no forwards on the bench. You can dig every single player out today.
Normally I go,
well, do you know what, he was alright and he was alright.
Not every
Fred
single player.
Looked like he was giving a shit, and then he was the one that came off, didn't really get that. But every single player, you know, right the way through, from Big Dave to Marcus and everybody in between, no one stood up today. Mm-hmm. At all. Like Ollie said, the only fans are the only ones that can hold their head up high. Nobody stood up today at all.
For David De Gea, it looks like the pressure's on him a bit, and I think it's the first time in what, throughout his career, well, apart from the early days at Old Trafford when people put pressure on him because of his
and that
stature.
Was overplayed.
Yeah, that was overplayed.
Well. I didn't think that was ever as bad as people were making it out. You could always see he was a top keeper in there, or I thought I could.
And United did the best with what the coaching abilities to get it out of him, as we've seen. We've been enjoying his goalkeeping skills the last couple of years. Bit of pressure on him recently about, is he as good as everyone says? There was the mistake for the second goal against Barcelona.
But he's not been in good form, and I don't know if his concentration slips, he's had his head turned, he's thinking about being elsewhere, he doesn't care as much. It could be a combination of a multitude of those things.
Do you believe, though, if he was thinking about being elsewhere, or if he was thinking about the summer move, and this goes throughout all the players in the squad, would they perform that bad? Is that not just a bit of an advert to get you a couple, like another 10 grand in your contract if Martial goes down the wing and scores an absolute worldie and he's going to go to somewhere in the summer?
On one hand, yeah, and you see it when players playing for contracts. You see the ability come through there. If you're not completely focused, this is a 1% game, man. Mm. You're looking for the smallest margin of errors. You're looking at a guy that doesn't pick up a runner, a guy that switches off for half a second, a guy that takes a slightly too heavy a touch. That's what these games are decided on. You're not really seeing like steamroller 7-8-9-0s. You know, you're seeing these games hinge on the finest of margins. And if you've got a team that believes in what they're doing, believes in their system, believes in the players around them, then they're going to put in a good performance. And that's why you see giant killings in the cups. Mm-hmm. Because the team's like, we're having it today. and they're not going to have it. You don't see this sort of giant killing in 1v1 sports. You see this in team sports, because 2-3 players can have a bad day in a team, and that can massively impact the result in a team. I think United's problems, I mentioned it on Full Time Devils, and it's hard to say the same thing twice so quickly, but United have got an issue in that Ollie came in. Ollie started to impart his style of play. Now, his style of play was a lot more energetic, required a lot more other players than what previously we'd had. We was the laziest, slowest team in the league. Now, that might have been Jose's design. That might have been Jose's way of protecting certain elements of this team, was to be like, we just sit compact. Ollie wanted us to counter-attack, to press from the front. We haven't really pressed from the front. Certainly haven't done it effectively for a while. And you've also got the double-edged sword of one, that you've asked for more of the players. That potentially led to a handful of injuries at the wrong time. We saw 4 injuries and a half against Liverpool, which is really hard to come back from. Not all down to pressing, but like it was unfortunate. And then you've got players out, key players out. You've got 2 matches a week, so you haven't got time to work on your philosophy and your style of play. Mm-hmm. All you're doing is going, here's what we've got to do against this opposition this week. Recover, play the match, travel, boom, 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 boom. No time in the week to do this. Now, I've spoke to coaches that have been at clubs that didn't have European football and then did have European football, and they've nearly lost their mind with how difficult that transition is. If you want to be an elite team, certainly in England, you've got to be competing in all of those levels. Any elite team, actually. Any of the elite Champions League teams are doing that. But when things aren't going right, he said when things are going great, it's actually very easy.
Yeah.
The lad that I'm talking to has been at a club where it's been great and it's also been shit, and he said when it's going great and momentum's up and the morale's high, it's fantastic because you're just looking forward to that next game all the time, and it doesn't matter if you're having a lot of time to work on stuff. But when things go wrong, there's no time in the calendar in the week
to fix
something going wrong. All you've got to do is recover, travel, quickly prep for the next game, play the game, recover, travel.
Especially when you go up against a team like Barcelona and you've got to focus on the tactics.
Yeah, you've got to look at what you're going to do to stop them. You can't be fixing the things in your own team. You've just got to be going, here's how we deal with these guys.
I've got to ask you a question. You probably know it might upset you. How are your bets this weekend?
Should we have a look at my bets this weekend?
Yeah, 4-0 Everton on there.
So here we go. Yeah, let's just turn that one off for us, mates. Yeah, that one. No, that one. The one he was hovering over. Turn that one off. Yeah, there we go. So what I did have was United to beat Everton at 3-1.
3-1. So like you were saying before, when the first goal went in, you thought happy days?
No, I didn't think happy days, but I wasn't asked. I was kind of like, I thought they'd score anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I did think they would score. I just thought we might get a couple more. And then the other bet that I had on, obviously, he's turned the wrong one off, never mind, was Lukaku's first goal against Everton, 5-1. So both of those bets did not come in. And it wasn't a good weekend.
4-0 Everton.
Yeah, if you had 4-0 Everton, I can't just say yes, I did. I want to see a screenshot, preferably from BetBull as well. My entire weekend was just gashed, to be honest. Fulham did me doing Bournemouth over. Cheers. And then Wolves drawing ended me as well. So
Wolves have just battered us this last couple of months.
Not a good week at all.
We hate Wolves. Fume at them.
If you'd like to come and follow me on BetBull, they are supporting the channel for the whole this month and potentially all of next season as well. But it needs you guys to come and help us out. So hit the link in the description, download the thingy, come and find me on at Mr. Stephen Howson. And just for the goodness of my heart for you guys doing that, I'm giving away a signed Marcus Rashford shirt as well. So if you want to be in the mix of winning that, it's a free app. Just come and download me on there and find me on there, Mr. Stephen Howson. Support BetBull because they're supporting me for this month and potentially for next year. And we could be doing some really awesome shit with next year with it as well.
Mint prize as well, a signed Rashford shirt.
Yeah, so that's that. I'm going to come to the questions pretty soon. Loads of people in the comments here just saying, play the kids. And to a certain extent, I agree. But when they played yesterday, some of them, doesn't really make a lot of sense. But is there anything to lose in playing the kids
now? No, unless... that's the truth. You've got to have a chat with your under-18s managers and your coaches just to say, I just put them on. Well, you got Manchester Derby midweek.
Hang on. A guy in here saying, our own youth academy is behind Man City. Current under-18s champions, Manchester United. What are you on about? Our own academy's behind cities. So, just because they've got a fancy, shiny building doesn't mean our academy's behind theirs. How many players are coming through to the first? It's talking about playing the youth. Marcus Rashford is still an academy product of Manchester United. 150-odd games for Manchester United's first team. Scott McTominay putting in decent performances against the likes of Barcelona. Product of Manchester United's academy. Like, do you mean?
Yeah.
You're seeing the likes of Mason and that start to break in. Angel, Jimmy Garner, all of these guys starting to break in. Yes, they need a little bit more of it. Yes, I want to see more of them. Why is United behind City? Because Foden's getting a game towards the end of the season when everyone's injured.
I think as well, with the youth, it's not just about their abilities on the pitch, it's about their confidence and also how much they want it. So if they go on and they're showing that they want this 110%, then it'll spark everyone else's in the starting 11 to go, look at this young lad here, he wants to play football and I'm just slacking a bit. So if you're in an attack like Martial and you see just the youngsters coming down, running on the wing, giving it to the opposition,
you've got to push a bit of that. Youth as well, and you've got to say, lads, you can go and get anything you want here.
Yeah.
You can go and take $100,000 contract by just stealing someone's place. No one gets given a first team place. They always steal it.
Exactly. And that could be the kick on the backside. Get Greenwood on. Just to say, wow, look at him. He wants to play football for Manchester United. I'm sat here not doing fuck all, making sure Everton win 4-0. And that's what the youngsters could also do. Kick the rest of the team up the arse and go, this is what football's about. I want to play for Manchester United. I'm giving it my all on this pitch. Get up off your arse and start playing football.
It's question time. Let's go to some of the questions. Everyone in my Patreon group, there's like nearly 600 in there. I'd say 99% United fans. There's an occasional opposition fan. But it's a good chat in there.
Yeah.
And these guys get any little transfer inside news or anything like that, I get first. And there's a couple are going round in the mix as well. But there's actually three, although I can't believe one of them. I'm not going to tell you.
Well,
you have to come and join Patreon. Mic's up, you idiot.
Whisper.
So if you'd like to come and get in Patreon, they get priority on questions. They get behind the scenes vlogs, a Patreon podcast, which didn't happen this week because I had a sore throat, which I'll be doing tomorrow. But they also get tons of other stuff as well. Like I said, nearly 600 in there, and they get the priority of questions in reviews and stuff as well. So that's where I'm coming to now for the questions. Luke says, what are we going to do? Where are the goals? Three strikes on the pitch today, couldn't
they? Yeah, and none of them looked too bothered. Oh, was it just not their day? Lukaku, you know, going against his old club, Goodison Park, you think he would have had a bit of fight in him, just fell down. Martial, he didn't even look bothered when he lost the ball, couldn't even track back to putting tackles to get it. So even when he got the ball, you know, the defenders sort of knew how to, when they lost the ball, Evan, they knew how to get the ball back from United. They dropped back four, midfield four were very tight. And Martial didn't really have the freedom he wanted to.
No.
But Martial has to create that freedom. He shouldn't just be given to him. And when the freedom's blocked off against him, he just...
Everton had balance.
Yeah.
They had a good defence. Imagine that. They had a midfield that's got sections to it. It's got a midfield that... One that does the hard donkey work and one that does the creative work.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got a focal point in Calvert-Lewin, who's not even a striker, really. The guy was an attacking midfielder every time I watched. Or even a winger, as he's been coming through. Yet they look... Totally fluid together and look like a team. We just look disjointed all the time.
Yeah.
Like, our midfield did not get into the game in the slightest today, and I think that was where the game was lost. That and a shite defence. And would you trade Pogba for two or three Dennis Irwin type players that consistently give you 7 or 8 out of 10 performances? Maybe.
Yeah, at the minute, yeah, because we haven't seen Pogba for a while. I feel like I've not seen the good days where Pogba was banging in a couple of goals a game and getting them assists. Well, obviously, he scored 2 penalties against West Ham. But it was that Pogba we saw post-Jose Mourinho, who just looked like the player we signed. Yeah, and we all had so much confidence, didn't we? But it kind of disappeared a bit. So, yeah, at the minute, yes. But if we're getting Pogba, which scores them goals and creates the chances like he did post-Jose, then...
Did you see the pre-match quote off Carragher?
No.
When he's saying he's seen it at Liverpool when they lost the likes of Suarez and they've lost the likes of Coutinho, but they've improved because they invested that money back into team players that made most... He's absolutely right. On the face of it, you go, losing Suarez, Liverpool will not do what they did last year. Losing Coutinho, they won't do what they did. But they did.
Yeah, they did.
Because they bought the right players that they needed. And I think there could be an element of that, potentially, if you did trade Pogba for two or three players that put in you 7 or 8 performances. Yeah. I mean, if you know that they're going to do that, then it's a no-brainer for me. Because it's always a team sport over an individual sport. You've got to find the right team. Sean Wright, not just singling him out, but I think Pogba's been playing too deep in recent games. I'm not sure he has been playing deep. I think he's been getting cut off. But yeah, I would like to see him further up. That's where he's at his best, when he gets into that space. Sometimes he doesn't get into the space because we don't occupy space better and like push out from the front and spread the pitch out to create space in the middle. I don't know, it's disjointed is the only word I can think of. Who's played their last game for United? Doesn't matter.
I don't think no one's played their last game for United, because I can see these players that aren't good enough still getting in the squad to the end of the season. And some of them have fucking got extensions.
Milan, I don't know what they were singing. Will we see the under-23s against City? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. There's a lot of talk about that game because,
we'd like to not see Liverpool win it, but ultimately Ollie's got a job to do, and whether he's a fan or not, he's got to go and try and win that game.
And ultimately the stats will stack against him then. How many defeats on the trot, you know, how many goals. You know, if today was a comfortable win against Everton and we battered them, then you could throw that kind of, is he going to throw the game against City about? He's not going to throw the game against City.
If he wins the next four games, he probably gets us top four.
Mm. Still think top four is on?
No, I don't, because I don't think we're going to beat City. Well, I certainly don't think we're going to beat Chelsea in this form. But I've got to say, Ollie's mindset going into those is he has to sit down tomorrow and go, how do we beat City on Wednesday? That's his job. He's got to do that. So whether we as fans want to stop Liverpool winning the title or not, Ollie's job is to win every game for United. So
at the end of the day, if we really want to stop Liverpool winning the title, we should be fucking better than them, because we were second last year. We should have reinvested in the squad in the summer. So it's no one's fault, none of our fans' fault, none of the players' fault. It's them up there. They should have reinvested, and we should have stopped Liverpool winning the league. They shouldn't be above us now, but we did. We let them get above us, we let them buy players, we let them strengthen, and we bought Fred and a fucking left back.
And Lee Grant.
Yeah, and Lee Grant.
Who do I honestly believe is good enough or will be good enough going in the next 3-4 years as we start trying to compete again? Who knows? Because I wouldn't have said McTominay. He never stood out really at youth level. He's pretty ordinary.
He's one of them players, isn't he, that just sort of stuck in there a bit. Do you think he'd be good enough though?
I don't think he's good enough to start. I think he's putting some fantastic performances lately, mostly in a defensive sense. I don't know if he's got that ability. He hasn't got that ability with the ball at his feet to make a killer pass, to thread it through from defence from midfield to attack, to switch play when's needed. I think if he had that, then I think there'd be a bit more about him, to be honest. But you know, he's limited, and sometimes that's not necessarily the worst thing if you play him the right way and you play him to his strengths. You know, you could definitely have a functional player like that in a team that does well. Is top four gone, Sir Starks? Yeah, I think so. Ryan?
Unfortunately, I think so as well. But like House has said, you win the next four games, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But this are we going to win the next four games?
Ryan, do you think that was reminiscent of when City got beat 4-0 by Everton before they cleared their deadwood? That was under Pep, I think. That was under Pep, wasn't it?
When they got beat 4-0 by Everton, what, in
like
3 years ago?
Like 3 years ago. I'm sure that was under Pep. Was that under Pep? Someone let us know in the comments. I think that was under Pep. Mitch, was that under Pep?
Google it, Mitch. Everton 4-0 against Man City. Are you not watching us intently, Mitch?
When City got beat 4-0 by Everton, was that under Pep? There you go. Do you know what I mean?
He just made it up.
He just lied, didn't he?
that was
a lie.
Lied to our faces, that was Mitch.
Reason our top four has gone, I think we've kind of covered that then. I don't know how many, if any. I don't think any. Stu, selling some of these players is going to be tricky. Can we just pay their contracts and put it down to a valuable lesson? That might be a better option.
Will they do that? Probably not.
It's literally sacking someone.
But people deserve to get sacked. If you were that bad at your job and it was any other job, right, you'd probably get the sack. These guys don't get the sack. They just get paid more. And in fact, too much. And they're not going to get the sack. But yeah, it would be unbelievable. It would be unbelievable. It would be a statement as well if United just went, sacking him. Go on.
You'd probably get some unfair dismissal tribunal or something. It'd be nasty. Out of the starting 11 today, what players could potentially be a tight one inside? Potentially all of them, if you've got better around them. Like someone was mentioning to us on Twitter before, they said, when I was trying to make the point about what sort of impact managers actually have on a team. There was like Fergie won a title with Cleverley as a starting midfielder. Yes, he did, right? But he also had a defence of Rio, Vidic, Evra, and he had Giggs and Scholes and Rooney and Harvey. It wasn't like he had Cleverley and then alongside him was Cleberson. Like, because even Fergie couldn't win titles with some of his squads that he had, obviously. He won 13 in whatever it was. So yes, on one hand, he did win some with some questionable sides for him. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they still had world-class players in them. Out of that United side, I mean, who gets into that 2013 team, really? I mean, Kagawa would probably be the best player in this team if he was in here now.
True.
Barely featured.
Kagawa.
Loved him.
Loved him.
Touch of an absolute god.
We miss him. We miss a lot of players in the side.
I did an 11 the other day of players that no longer play for us but are still playing. Who was in net? I think we went for Eaton in net.
Eaton, yeah.
Fullbacks went for Raphael and Blind.
Yeah, definitely.
Probably better than what we had today. Centre halves, I think we went for PK and Keane.
Yeah.
Okay, so that back four's unbelievably better than
what we got now.
Centre midfield wasn't amazing. I think it was like Schneiderlin and Di Maria. But then wingers, I think we had Memphis.
Yeah.
Up front, Ronaldo. Oh no, it was Memphis and. It might have been Memphis and Ronaldo on the wings, or Zaha. Memphis, Zaha on the wings, Ronaldo's lying up front. Does that team smack
that
about our team today?
It probably does.
Probably does. It's better than what we've got.
No way, so you've got a question
on, he's on the bench.
Is he on the bench?
I mean, yeah, there's some. What do I think Edward Woodward and the Glazers will do here? Significant backing is needed under the director, I'm sure, of football. I don't know, because there's a lot of talk of people trying to sell the club. If someone's going to come in, are they going to invest? At the end of the day, we've had an organisation that's taken out over $1 billion when the neighbours have had over double that put into them. So the gap in investment is like $3 billion. You give me $3 billion to invest in Drolls and I'll give you a Champions League. That's my promise. Go on, do it.
Go on, Drolls. Do it, and a billionaire watching. Also, well, the question is, what do you think Edward Wood, what do we want Edward Wood to do? Because what we think Edward Wood will do is not going to be the case. Edward Wood has shown time and time again he's had the opportunity to reinvest, but instead other things happen.
Do you think we should put the players that showed a lack of character and fight on a bench or in the stands and play youth in the last four games? Yeah, but will we?
Will we? Probably not. So it's like a fans' fairy tale.
Tino says, over 400 minutes since our last goal from open play and the top four is gone. Should Ollie just play the youth?
And you're 400 minutes.
He should. He should start the... Look, I think he's probably got to earnestly put a team out against City, because City, we've seen it. If City smell a bit of weakness, it's 7-0 before you blink.
Fucked.
Yeah. City could go on an absolute tear against us. Be like a stag doing Amsterdam. Like, not a prayer.
Yeah.
So, I think you've got to go earnestly with the best team you think can do a job. But I think after that, yeah, balls to it. Let's see what he thinks he's going to do.
And also,
tell them, lads, look. Steal someone's shirt for next season and you'll get a lift out of them. Do it.
Well, also, we play the youth and then it doesn't go well or doesn't go according to how we think. Then you'll be like, oh, well, we don't get top four. Why did he play the youth? So it's kind of can bite Ollie back in the arse then. If he plays the top squad that he thinks he's got, then that's all he can do with the players.
Ooh, this is a ballsy quote here off Ollie. It sounds like he's gone in and volleyed someone in the bollocks.
That Jolly Ollie best be gone.
He says, if you want to play at this club, it has to mean more. I want my team to be the hardest working team in this league. I'm going to be successful here, and there are players there that won't be part of that successful team. Yes, lad.
And but here's this thing,
so
right?
I almost want to end it on that. That was perfect. No, yes,
we'll repeat at the end. But I was thinking to myself. So you talk about. Ollie's got all this team. There's certain things, that even like the set pieces, like the crossing today. Our crossing was. We had a couple of crosses, I believe. Shite couldn't even beat the first man.
Technical
some of them.
Term is shite.
So then, if you want this team to work hard, why aren't you working them hard in training? Why aren't you making the most of the crosses? Why aren't you getting
this
whoever's
is what
taking
I'm saying,
it
working in training? Why, there's no time. There's no time to do this.
Put
things.
Half an hour aside, Ollie, for crossing next week, please, for me.
Not his fault. Players don't want to play the club. There does seem an element of that with a couple of the players. Isn't it? It does feel like there's an element of like not really arsed with some of the players.
I can't be arsed with the fucking gifts and the memes. Ollie's at the wheel.
We've just
and
brought
everyone all these crashing cars and stuff like that. Get a grip, man.
Hang on. Can I say something?
Fuming.
Ollie's at the wheel doesn't relate to a fucking car. You absolute dicks.
It's a bus. Sorry.
It's a boat. Waterfall's about a boat.
Yeah. It's a boat. Oh, now we're gonna get people making
talks
Titanic.
About sails. Remember, fills up your breakers. It's about sales. It's a fucking boat. He's steering a boat, not a fucking car. So stop drawing your buses, your cars, your taxis, your fucking gimps.
Well, now someone's going to cut the Titanic final scene and Ollie just doing that.
Well, they are now you've said that, yeah?
Sorry, yeah, send it to me.
Good effort. Fuck's sake. Donald says, honestly, we don't deserve top four.
I don't think we do. No, well, we didn't deserve top four when Jose Mourinho left it. It was only just
when
Ollie
took over,
spike.
11 points off top four, 13 off Spurs. We're 10 off Spurs. Even after the defeat, so we could have been level with Spurs.
Yeah.
And we've got a plus 15 goal difference from zero, even after getting spanked 4-0. So, we're going through a double dog shit patch. But ultimately, it's been tangibly, provably better than what Jose did with players that he's actually signed. Remember, Ollie's not signed anybody yet. He's not had a chance to sign anybody yet.
It's going to be the little Josie starting to mouth off a bit more and more now, isn't he?
So he's going to have his own YouTube channel by fucking weekend.
He's going to, come join us.
Rob says, are we doing pizza review next season, but call it Thursday Club, but on Wednesday?
Oh, yeah, shit, what are you going to do?
That's the reason we had the Thursday Club, is because realistically we don't have a game on that night.
You're going to have to watch. You're going to have to do watch-alongs with Pizza Club.
Fuck's sake. Arsenal losing 1-0. Hey! That's another bet down.
What have you got, Arsenal?
I think that was the worst performance from Marshall. I mean, Marshall FC,
he had a bad
game for you, Hugo. That was Hugo, not me. But
Marshall FC, you know what? They can't really defend him too much today. He wasn't great. He wasn't what we needed either. Bit of flair.
Interesting question here from Boozy. Are we starting to see that maybe Mourinho's right to want to get rid of Pogba and Marshall in the summer? Two of our best players on their day, but super inconsistent and never seem to take the game by the scruff of the neck. See, you do have a point, but I can't, because Luke Shaw was also in that list of players to go. I don't think any football team can honestly say they're better without Pogba, Marshall and Luke Shaw, but for fucking keeping Fellaini. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. At all. None. Now, if that was what Jose wanted, on one hand, I almost want to go, you have to give a manager what he wants to do, but this is where you want to go, someone go like, what, you want to replace Pogba with Fellaini? And like, no. And maybe if you didn't like Luke Shaw, but you was playing Daley Blind instead, instead of letting, because he would have let Blind and Shaw go, which is fucking mental.
Do you worry that if Ollie knows there's a lot of dead wood and he's gone to them, right, if you want to leave, you can go get yourself out of here, and that was in the January, and we saw Fellaini go. Do you worry that none of them want to leave and they just want to ride
it out? Why would you leave?
I know, why would you leave? That is true. I think I answered my own question.
Yeah.
Ride it out.
Leave? Even like Romero, who I admire for being like, I'm just going to chill here on the bench.
Yeah, just
that's a pretty bad thing, really, in the grand scheme of things, isn't it?
He could
be
playing
an international goalkeeper that plays at World Cups.
He could be winning. He could be going abroad and could get into
the
first team.
He'd probably start in like Portuguese league for Benfica or Sporting or someone.
He's looking at Juventus. I think you
see Juventus signing.
Yeah, and he could be winning stuff, but he's just chilling on the bench.
I believe he's a United fan. So on one hand, he's got the best job ever. And two, he's like pretty fucking lazy.
Yeah, he is.
Mate,
well, fair
enough. Ultimate slacker job, innit? Yeah. Like, well, I'm an assistant goalkeeper.
He must be loving
fucking
life,
chilling.
Just chilling out.
Oh, God. Arshing gone on our best away run to our worst in 40 years.
Yeah, that is true. Our worst in 40 years.
Where has it gone since PSG? It's hard to pin down, innit? I think it's a combination of a lot of things.
Well, was PSG just too good? And then it's all just fucking falling downhill from here.
Biffle says, as a fan that lives abroad, can I explain the big issue with playing Europa League? Because arguments can be made. Our best transfer business was the 2016 off-season when we played Europa League. Now, as a people that go, you won't attract anyone playing Europa League, United will always attract. And on one hand, I would rather attract players that would want to come to us despite Europa, because then they're like, well, I'll play for United, like, at the end of the day. The issue with it, there is something where your results dip. With Europa League football, they definitely do. I don't know why, because in my head and like pure maths wise, there's no difference between Wednesday, Saturday and Thursday, Sunday. It's exactly the same, but there might be something in the routine at the clubs. There might be something in the routine of the personal lives of the players.
Also, a lot of these Europa League teams quite far away time difference wise.
They are a little bit more Eastern Europe,
so you might be going
then to your Spain and your things
like
that.
So time difference there plays a part a bit. Getting your head straight.
Worst pitches. worse hotels. Yeah. It could be a combination of things. I think there's something definitely in the player routine thing.
Mm-hmm. That so is like more, they just know what they're going to do.
There's also like, there might be something in the fact that like most of your games play on a Saturday. If your opposition's got an extra day, let's pick a random team, Bournemouth, right? So United, if we're in the Champions League and we play Bournemouth, we played Barcelona on a Wednesday, we played Bournemouth on a Saturday. Bournemouth played last Saturday, they're playing this Saturday. Now, we give them till the Sunday, because all your games end up on a Sunday. Yeah. Is there something in the fact that they get the 24 hours extra to prepare? It just makes it that more difficult.
Even the coaching staff, 24 more hours to just look at United.
It's multifaceted, I think.
Yeah.
It's multifaceted, because so in terms of the travel and the... Everyone focuses on their own team, don't they, and not what can happen over the road at the other team that you're coming up against. I think it's multifaceted. For me, from a personal point of view, it's fucking gross having... even just like taking Jay. We don't finish here till 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes after a night game. And if I've got that twice a week with, a Monday as well as a Friday, like, from a personal perspective, it's fucking minging.
Yeah, awful.
It's minging. Whereas it's only once, usually. Oh, it is what it is. I hate it. Plus, like, look who we played, right? This season we've had Juventus, we've had Paris, we've had Barcelona.
Ooh. Incredible teams, all coming to Old Trafford, all having a game, and it just put United back in the spotlight, didn't it? And people started to pay more attention to us, especially after Paris, and then it all just went downhill.
What do we do with Europa League? Withdraw. We're not gonna withdraw. We weren't gonna play youth in every position. You might see youngsters given more opportunities, and maybe that's the right attitude to take with it. Maybe. Which players in the squad absolutely deserve to be in next season?
It's where Rashford started Europa League.
A lot of stuff coming in. How ridiculous is it that people are blaming Ole? Like he told them to run around like donkeys for 90 minutes. There's this Jesus complex with people and managers that they think everything revolves around a manager. The manager and his team, because remember it's not just the manager, are a part of the rest of the first team. If you want to blame a manager every time, look at David De Gea. He's got player of the year a few seasons, but he's cycled through all these managers. Does he take some of the blame? Got to take some of the blame.
Yeah, he has to take some of the blame.
Does Chris Smalling take some of the blame? Does Lindelof take some of the blame? Who's been here for multiple managers? You need to point the fingers at more than a guy that's come in for 3 months.
Ollie takes some of the blame, but I won't put a lot on him. But he did pick that team. He maybe didn't motivate him as well as he could have done. Maybe didn't think about how well Everton would have been. That may have been downfall for him. Maybe he underestimated how good they were going to be at Goodison Park. And you get them having the early goal, and then fucking hell, they're away. So that's what he might.
Yeah, Pochettino is a solution. See, I knew this one would come up. So Ollie's outpointed the shit out of him in the Premier League. So how is he the solution?
Takes a VAR
because
decision.
He's done all right against City in the Champions League. It's a cup competition. If we'd have drawn Porto instead of Barcelona, maybe we'd have gone through and they might not have gone through. Like, are you really basing the decisions on that? The league tells you the bread and butter. There's no hiding in the league. And we've done better than Spurs since Ollie took over. Like, I don't get that. And Ollie beat him. They've got a better starting 11. You would expect more from that team. This is my problem with that Spurs team is that they're a fucking really good team. Really good team.
Yeah,
with Son and Kane and Ali and Eriksen. Like, Eriksen could end up at Madrid or Barcelona tomorrow. Not a problem. Same for Harry Kane. Same for Son, right? You're not going to see Jesse bounce to one of those clubs.
No.
You're not going to see Mata bounce to one of those clubs unless it's a sentimental thing. You're not going to see, like...
Pochettino as well.
That defence murders ours. That defence is fantastic.
Tottenham have been good with giving Pochettino time as well, if things weren't going his way.
He's a better manager and he's proven. What's he proven?
As Webby would say, you don't want a bowl of soup.
What's he proven? He works with no money. Well, not necessarily. Those players, he had no money this season, you mean? Well, that was Ollie. And Ollie beat him. Let's not forget that. Ollie beat him.
Yeah, 1-0.
They have no depth. Not only might not have depth, but we've got no depth, no starting 11, so what the fuck? You can't just say Spurs have no depth. They have a little bit of depth. They've still got 3 good centre-halves, which is 2 more than we've got. And the one we've got is questionable in certain areas. All 3 of their centre-halves start for us.
Exactly. A lot of their first team start for us. There isn't many that would fit in Pochettino's team because he knows well the way he wants to play football, and he does it and he executes it.
Yeah. Spurs have got a fantastic starting 11. And that's my problem with Pochettino, is that he should have won that team. Here's the question for you. If Mourinho had gone to Spurs in the last couple of seasons, he wouldn't have not won anything. He would have won something with that team and those players, unquestionably. What would Pochettino have won with the players at United?
Probably nothing.
Exactly. Spurs won 3-0 at OT. Not under fucking Ollie, did he, dick?
You're going to get him fuming. Leave him alone. He's fuming.
Oh, right. I'm going to bounce. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll be back on Wednesday after 6.
Oh, for fuck's
absolutely
sake.
Absolutely fucking ride us.
For fuck's sake.
Go and check out the link in the description for BetBull, who've been kind enough to support us for this entire month. what's been a pretty depressing month, let's be honest with you.
Well, depressing. Absolutely
so
depressing.
So check those out. You could win yourself a signed Marcus Rashford shirt. Also, check out Patreon if you want the first word on all the transfers that's going on, and anything else. Like, there's a good little community on there of mostly non-mentals. So thank you guys for joining us. From me and Joe, go and follow Joe on Twitter.
Bye-bye.
See you in a bit.